And thanks for joining us this morning. But in the meantime, I want to remind you of these announcements here. If you can, if you look on your screen there, you see number one. We know that this time is very difficult for a lot of people and you as well. Please do not hesitate to let us know if you or anyone you know has any specific needs, whether that's needing someone to talk with or whether that's some very tangible needs like material possessions or food or financial assistance. Let's work together to serve one another, to be a blessing to others. So please, I know this time is difficult for everybody. We know that a lot of people's tendency is to be embarrassed or to not ask for help. But as the church, we need to be willing to extend our hand and to be a blessing to others. So please let us know. Talk to me or one of the other pastors, we'll work together. Okay. Our desire is to really be obedient to Christ and love one another and serve one another during this time, and also serve those that are in need. So, secondly, please continue to pray. Please continue to pray for the needs that you are aware of all around. Continue to pray for our church body. Pray that we will continue to grow and serve faithfully during this time. And we will continue to give of our time and our talents and our treasures. And that we will continue to see the kingdom of God expand and see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And third, yeah, let's continue to seize those opportunities. Seize those opportunities to serve and share Jesus Christ with those that are in need. And of course, this last announcement. Next week, Pastor Terry is going to be leading us in observance of the Lord's Supper. So you're going to do that in your, wherever you are. You're going to need to prepare your own elements. Some liquid, it doesn't have to be juice. It doesn't have to be red juice or purple juice. It could be water and some kind of cracker or bread. Totally up to you. But we remember, it's all to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, his sacrifice on the cross for our sin. And so I am going to stop sharing this so that I can see all of you. But I want to say good morning to all of you again. So why don't we just go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise you for who you are. God, we thank you for giving us life. We thank you, God, for your provision. We thank you for your promises. Thank you, God, for your amazing grace and your unending love. God, I thank you for my friends here this morning. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. God, you know our needs. God, you provide for our every need. You know our struggles. And God, I pray that you would continue to help us to grow, to be more like Christ. God, give us wisdom during these times of uncertainty. God, help us to be certain in you. To know, God, that we can trust you, that we can depend on your promises, that you are faithful, that you are sovereign and in control. You are all-powerful and all-knowing, and you work for the good of those who believe and who you have called according to your purposes. And so, God, help us to trust in your word and to trust in you during this time of struggle and trial and testing. And, God, I pray for those who are in need. I pray for those who are experiencing pain or loss or who are in need. God, I pray that you would remind them of your presence, that you would remind them of your help and your power and your promise. And God, I pray that you would help all of us to seize those opportunities to be a blessing to others. And God, help us to remember the joy of our salvation. And to know that our joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Our peace is not dependent on our circumstances. But God, our peace and our joy and our hope is found solely in you, solely in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so God, thank you for my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for my church family at Northwest. Even though we can't meet together physically, what a blessing it is that we can join together in worship and studying your word. And so I thank you so much for each one that is joining us this morning. And I pray, God, that our time together would be sweet, our time together would be pleasing to you. I pray, God, that as we worship and as we study your word, I pray, God, that our lives would bear fruit. And thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you for being so good to us. And thank you for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, with that, we want to move in, and I want to focus your attention on God's word. And I want to invite you to pull out your pen, your paper, your journal, your Bible, and open it up to the book of Galatians chapter 6 while I put the slides up here. Galatians chapter 6 is going to be our focal passage today. You know, lately, I have been so encouraged. I've been so encouraged. I've been so touched by the stories that I've heard, by the examples that I've seen of love, generosity, and compassion displayed by so many of you as you guys continue to serve one another, as you continue to sacrifice for those that are in need. It has been such an encouragement to me to see God working in your hearts, working through you, and blessing and touching the lives of other people. And so I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage you to keep doing that. Keep serving the Lord. Keep serving others. Because if you just, I know it's hard to step outside and look around and to see people, but we see it online, we see it on the news, we see all of the needs around us. We see physical needs as well as spiritual needs. And so, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, if you're joining us today, I want us to be reminded that in the midst of all of this need, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity not only to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to serve those that are in physical need, but I want to remind us also this morning of the spiritual need and the opportunity for us to further the kingdom of God, the opportunity for us to continue to be obedient to the commands of Jesus Christ, to love one another just like he loved us. And you know, as I'm contemplating life, as I am looking at our situation here in our world today, I'm reminded of how important it is for each one of us to help one another. To help one another, not just with material things, but to help one another on this path, especially as the church, this path of holiness, this path of following Jesus Christ, following our Lord and Savior, because things have been magnified because of the coronavirus. And one thing that really stands out to me that has been magnified is our brokenness, our sin, our broken world. And this brokenness that I'm talking about, it's not just, you know, the suffering and the pain, which so many people are going through. And I don't discount that. We continue to stand side by side and encourage one another and serve one another. But I want us to see, dear brothers and sisters, this opportunity that we have each and every day to provide spiritually for one another. And in the midst of this broken world that is ravaged by sin, you know, if you look back to Ephesians, or if you look to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul encourages the church to remember that the biggest problem in our lives is sin. Our battle, right? Our battle is not with flesh and bone, but our battle is a spiritual one. That's the reality of this life. Now, as Christians, we know that we've been saved. We've been saved from the penalty of our sin through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross in his death and resurrection. But the reality is that we still struggle. We still are tempted. And Satan is still allowed to roam and to scheme and to deceive. And he still has that ability to try to deceive us and lure us to reject God and his word, right? We see the reality of sin all around, in every aspect, in every area of life, in our homes, in our church even. It's a reality of life. It's a reality of my life. It's a reality of your life. For all have sinned, right? All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. James chapter 3, verse 2 says we all sin in many ways. And Paul, in the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 24, says about himself, you know, one of the greatest Christians to have ever walked this earth, he says this about himself, "Oh, what a wretched man I am." Now, if one of the greatest Christians struggled with sin, you know, that should show us that we all struggle with sin. Jesus was perfect and did not sin in any way, but the Bible tells us that he was tempted in every way known to man, yet he was without sin. You see, brothers and sisters, our hope is in Jesus. We, because of our faith in him, we have this relationship with God. We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside each and every one of us to help us gain the victory over sin. And we also need the Word of God. The Word of God that purges us and purifies us. The Word of God that defines us and refines us. And so I want us to think about, now ultimately we know we need Jesus, right? We all know that we need Jesus, but I want us to consider the truth that we also need one another as we engage in this spiritual battle in life. We must know that we can't do this alone. We do what we can. We fight this battle in our conscience, in our mind, in our hearts. We fight this battle as we are broken in our flesh. Still, sometimes we give in to the temptation. Still, sometimes we commit those sins from time to time. And let us never forget that not only is sin our biggest problem in this world today, but sin devastates, sin destroys, sin breaks unity that we have, and sin interrupts our worship, it interrupts our unity, it tears our churches apart, it tears families apart, it tears ministries apart. It threatens our joy, it threatens our peace. It hinders our love. Sin, if left unchecked, if left unresolved, if left undealt with, it's like a poison. And we can't do it alone. We can't fight this alone. We need one another. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 6. And so I want to direct your attention to Galatians chapter 6, and I want to read it to you out loud. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. And here is what Paul is saying. In light of the truth that you have the person and the power of the Holy Spirit in you through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, brothers and sisters, because of that reality of what Jesus has done, because of who you are now in Jesus Christ, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, because you now walk in the Spirit, and that's what he's talking about in chapter 5. Because you now walk in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, this is your responsibility towards one another. And so look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read it out loud to you. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one of you should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." God, thank you for your word. God, help us to understand and help us to live it out. God, help us to understand our responsibility to one another in the body of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, brothers and sisters, this is the one truth that I want us to remember today. And it's easy to remember because it's kind of catchy. But here's our responsibility as those who are, as followers of Jesus towards one another. We're responsible to pick up, look up, and build up one another as we daily look up to Jesus Christ. That's easy to remember, right? We are called, we're responsible to pick up, look up, and build up one another as we look up daily to Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our first point. This is our responsibilities, brother and sisters. And before we get to this first point of picking up, you know, these are actions here. These are practical things that we are called to do in obedience to the law of Jesus, to love one another just as he has loved us. But why do we do this? Look at what Paul is writing. Look at what's being written here. Okay, we do this because Jesus commands it. We're commanded to love like him in John chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And why do we do this? Why must we do this? Why are we responsible for this? It's because the biggest problem that we face in the world today is sin. And so that's what I'm here to share with you. That's what Paul is sharing with us here and to the church. How can we fulfill this responsibility to one another? Well, the first way, the first action that we can take is to pick each other up. You look at verse 1, pick each other up. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. We must pick one another up. We who are spiritual, we who are followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's the truth about life. And it's something, I was reading this the other day. But it's so true. The truth about life is this. We're either following God's way or we are following the world's way. We're either choosing righteousness day by day, moment by moment, or we are choosing sin. This is the reality all day, every day, and there is really no in between. We're either following Jesus or we're not. We're either living in righteousness or we're living in sin. There is no in between, brothers and sisters. Okay, so what does it mean then to pick someone up? Now, of course, Paul is referring to somebody who's caught in sin. And just so that we're clear about this, oftentimes we might read a verse like this, someone who's caught in sin, and we might think of, oh, that person that just caught in that horrific sin and they're doing horrible things and hurting so many people, that person is who Paul is talking to. But no, we need to understand, again, all of us sin. All of us, from time to time, we get caught and we choose to disobey God. We sin. And so it's up to us as brothers and sisters in Christ to pick each other up. What does it mean to pick someone up? First of all, it means to lovingly confront them. It means to lovingly confront them. And in order to do this, and you can write these things down as we're talking through it, but in order to lovingly confront someone, first of all, we need to care about that person. We need to care for that person. And secondly, we need to value the relationship. In order to lovingly confront someone, we need to care for them. We need to love them, but we also need to value the relationship. And third, we need to address the sin. Now, I know that's not on the slide, but we need to care for them. We need to value the relationship, and we need to address the sin. Now, I know this is so hard for so many of us. It's hard for even me because we are afraid of sounding judgmental, or we're afraid of being legalistic. And so here's the thing. We need to know that God does call us to judge, but judge not in the way that you think. You see, we need to know what is right and what is wrong. And how do we know that? We look to God's word. We look to his truth. And when we know that something is wrong, we need to do something. We need to say something. So it is in our relationships with one another in the church. If we know that a brother or sister is caught in a sin, we're not just here to point the finger. That's not what Paul is telling us to do. But with love, with gentleness, with the goal of restoration. We need to confront one another with the goal, again, to restore them to health. Right? Think about what Jesus did for us. He told us that we are sinners, that all of us have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God, and that we need salvation. And so what did he do? He came to be with us, to restore us, to redeem us, to make us whole again, to give us new life. You see, what does it mean to gently restore someone? It means to lead them to confession, to acknowledge their sin, and to turn to God, to repent. Now, you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm not good at that, Pastor Steve. It really makes me uncomfortable to even talk, to have a deep conversation with somebody. But I want to encourage you. This is the thing. This is what we need to pray for. This is what we should be doing in our times of gathering together as the church, in our small groups, in our Bible studies, when we worship together. You see, we are called to love one another, brothers and sisters. You see, and when you think about it, think about it in the context of your family, or just imagine, you know, if you had loved ones of your own. Oh, all of us have loved ones. All of us have family. I think about it as a parent. If one of my children was going down a path that would ultimately destroy them and hurt them and hurt other people, would I just lovingly stand by and allow them to continue to hurt themselves and hurt others? No. I would go to them, and I would do all that I can to encourage them to turn away from whatever it is that's hurting them and hurting others, and go the other way. That's how it is for us, brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to pick each other up through lovingly confronting and gently restoring. And really, if you look at it, I believe this is one of the reasons why we see so many younger people falling away from the faith. It's because we are not willing to lovingly confront and gently restore. Oftentimes, we prioritize comfort. We prioritize safety. We don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. We don't want them to point the finger back at us. And really, we're not pointing fingers. We're wanting them to be healthy. We're wanting them to be whole. We're wanting them to follow Jesus Christ. You know, God created us to love each other in this way. And because that's ultimately what he did for us. And so not only did he call us to pick each other up, but secondly, we're called to hold each other up. Okay, we're called to pick each other up. We're called to hold each other up. And you look at verses 2-5. Paul says, we are to carry each other's burdens. And in this way, we fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they're something and they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Now, what does it mean to carry each other's burdens? Well, what is a burden? A burden are these struggles and the suffering that we go through in this life. A burden, a heavy burden that Paul is talking about is not just an inconvenience. It's not just a preference, a thing that we dislike and, oh, I need you to help me with this because I don't like drinking this type of water. I can only have this water and I'm suffering so badly because I can't find that one brand of water that I always love to drink. That is not the burden that Paul is talking about. But yes, it includes our struggle with sin. It includes the struggles that we're facing now economically, physically, because of the coronavirus. All of these things. These are the burdens that we are bearing today. And these are the burdens in which God is calling us to hold each other up in so that we don't fall. They are the sufferings of this life. And you think about it, Jesus says later on in chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, we will have suffering in this world. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. And see, when we are weary with burdens, these burdens that weigh on our shoulders, this is when we need each other. This is when we need to hold each other up. Because you look at the second part of John 16, verse 33, it says, Yes, in this world, you will have suffering. You will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But Jesus says, take courage. Jesus says, take courage. I have overcome the world. And this is how we can hold each other up. We humbly bear each other's burden. What does that look like? To humbly bear each other's burden? It means to go to one another, to listen to one another, and to point each other to Jesus Christ. We need to remind one another of the gracious God who provides for us, who comforts us, who loves us. We need to point each other to the Savior who has overcome the world. Holding someone up, it requires humility. It requires that correct understanding of ourselves. In order for me to help you, I need to humble myself. I need to understand that I need help. We all need help. And I need to be willing to ask myself and ask you, how can I help you? And am I willing to help you? See, that's how we can hold each other up, through humble burden bearing. We need to understand that we all need help. We need to be willing to help. And then I need to be willing to listen and ask you, how can I help you, brother? How can I help you, sister? And so I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, what burdens are you facing today? Will you share with somebody? Will you share with a trusted brother or sister? I ask you, church, who is God calling you to hold up today? Will you call them? Will you text them? Will you bear their burden? God has called us to pick each other up. God has called us to hold each other up. And third, God has called us to build each other up. And we do this through generous sharing. Okay, you look at verse 6. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Now, Paul kind of shifts gears here, and he speaks to the responsibilities of both teachers and students, teachers and receivers within the church. How do we build each other up? It's through generous sharing. Now, Paul is not talking necessarily about financial sharing or sharing money. He's not necessarily talking about temporal possessions here. Here, he's talking to teachers of the Word of God. He's talking to students and receivers of the truths of God's Word. He's referring to the treasure of God's Word. So what do teachers do? Well, ideally, right, teachers teach the truth of God and help people to understand what God is saying. And what do we do as students? Well, we receive that word. And not only that, doesn't mean we just listen and hear it in our ears, right? Receiving the word means understanding it, knowing it, living it out, and sharing it. And that's what Paul is referring to here when he talks about building each other up. We need to build each other up with God's word, not just with witty sayings or positive vibes or whatever it is, any, you know, positive sayings. We need to build one another up with God's word. And that's another opportunity that we have as a church that oftentimes we miss out on. In order to share the word of God and build each other up, we need to know the word of God. And when we know the word of God, we need to live it out. And not only do we need to let our lives bear witness to the truth of God's word, but then we need to be willing to open our mouth and open the word of God to others and share it with them. Yes, it's encouraging to say, I'm praying for you. And that's one of the best things we can do is pray, because God ultimately is the one that's in control and all powerful to change lives and to change hearts. But we also need to be willing to open up God's truth with each other and share the amazing treasure of God's promises with one another. We need to share God's word generously. We have this amazing opportunity, right? As in our time today, there is so much uncertainty. Things are being stripped away from us. We can't even meet together, and we're scared that we're going to hurt each other by getting each other sick or whatever it is. And people are losing jobs. People are worrying about where their next paycheck's going to come from. Some people are worrying about where their next meal is going to come from. We need to be ready to share, and we need to be willing to share the truth of God. We need to build each other up. Right, even the Great Commission, Jesus says, Go out and make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I have commanded. Now, I want to share something with you about my experience of following Jesus and being a part of the church. You know, I'm 40 years old. I know that's young for some of you. For some others of you, that seems really old. Like to all the youth, I think I'm like 100 years old. But I want you to know this. The times in my life when I've seen God work the most powerfully, do you know what those times are? You might be thinking, well, maybe at a conference that you went to, or maybe during a worship service that you were a part of. No, those aren't it. The times that I've experienced God work in the most powerful ways is when I simply took the opportunity to share the Word of God. It wasn't an event. It wasn't because of a program. It wasn't because of technology. It wasn't because of my amazingly good looks or my funny jokes. That was a joke. But no, it was because I simply took the opportunity to share the Word of God, and God's Word pierced people's hearts. God's Word opened their eyes. The Holy Spirit opened the eyes of people to allow them to step out of darkness and into the light. It was the Word of God. It was the gospel that is the power of salvation for all those who believe. It was God's Word that is alive, God's Word that is transformative. It was by simply sharing the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, we are called and commanded to love one another. We're responsible to build each other up through sharing God's Word and through receiving God's Word. When was the last time you went to the Bible? You went to God's Word with your family? When is the last time you opened your Bible up with your friend? Now, nowadays you don't have to open the paper Bible. You can actually open your phone, open the app, turn on the computer. When is the last time you encouraged someone with real wisdom that comes from God's Word? If there was ever a time that we need to point people to God's Word, it's now. Right? Our people are broken all around. And dear brother and sister, we have the opportunity to build them up. And lastly, what is Paul encouraging us with? In order to fulfill our responsibility to one another in obedience to Jesus Christ, we must look up. Look at verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Church, this is for us. Let's not give up doing good. But what does Paul say? And my encouragement to you is this last action that we can take to fulfill our responsibility to one another is to look up. Looking up, it has to do with our focus. It has to do with the direction of our hearts, our perspective. Paul, he's talking now about reaping and sowing. It, you know, again, for the people that are listening, they would really relate because this was an agricultural society. And I know a lot of you have taken up gardening during this time of social distancing. And so you know all about it, sowing and reaping, planting seeds, planting seedlings and seeing them grow, nurturing them, watering them. Paul is talking about how we live our life. You know, remember when I said earlier that we are either following Jesus or we are following the world? We are either living in righteousness or we are living in sin. The same is true with what we invest in. Now, yes, you could relate it to money, but I'm not talking about money right now. I'm talking about how we invest our life, how we use our influence. Pastor John MacArthur, he said this, the Christian has only two fields in which they can sow. That is of their own flesh or that of the Spirit. Either we can be sowing and investing and influencing things that will never last and influencing and investing in just our own fleshly things, or we can be investing in eternity we can be sowing seeds of the gospel. And so what does it look like? What does it mean to look up? It means to focus in on our personal holiness. Again, how we live, how we follow Jesus, how we choose to be obedient to God's way, how we choose righteousness instead of sin, instead of the world's way. You know, what does it look like? What might it look like to sow things in the flesh? It means that when we're tempted, it means that we give in. It means that we give in. What might it look like to live a life sowing in the flesh? It might look like always yearning after the newest thing or always wanting more things instead of finding satisfaction in Jesus. And what might sowing in the Spirit look like? Well, sowing in the Spirit means that we put our flesh to death. Now, of course, I'm not saying we kill ourselves. I'm not saying that. But what we're saying is that we surrender our lives to Jesus. We lay down our earthly desires. And we choose to live for Christ. We choose to find our hope, our joy, our contentment, our satisfaction in Jesus alone. And I know this sounds like very, like, just Bible talk. But I want you to know, dear friend, dear brother and sister, when we take time to get to know God, as we study God's word, we will know the truth of what it means to find satisfaction in Jesus. We will know the truth of what it means to find hope and joy in Jesus, regardless of our circumstances. So dear brother and sister, look up, meaning focus in on how you are living, how you are living your life set apart for God, your personal holiness, how you are living out God's commands. And secondly, what does it mean to look up? It means practical goodness. Now, you see, when our heart desires holiness, then our hands will display the goodness of God. When our heart's desire is holiness and living out God's word and his commands, then our hands will display the goodness of God practically. That's what I'm talking about in practical goodness, that practically we will show and live the goodness of God through our words, through our actions. And do you know what will happen? We will see God produce fruit. We will experience the blessing of life lived in the Spirit. We will experience what life with Christ is really like when we choose to look up rather than look down at all of our circumstances and all the things that aren't going right and all the things that have been taken away and all the things that are difficult. And they are difficult and they are wearing on us. But we need to choose to look up. Look up from our despair. Look up from the darkness. And look to the light. Look to the light of Jesus Christ. And how, and you and I, brother and sister, we are called, we are responsible to pick each other up, to hold each other up, to build each other up as we look up daily to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. It requires something of us, doesn't it? Right? Any responsibility, any task that's worthwhile is going to require something. It requires some kind of sacrifice. And that sacrifice for us, in order to be obedient to this word of God, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, it requires us to surrender. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, why would I want to surrender my life to Jesus like that? I already prayed that I trust Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross and he's forgiven me of my sins. Why? That was just biblical times where they were crazy for Jesus. Why should you surrender your life to Jesus? Well, it's because you see the reality of God's word when Jesus says that he is the only way, he is the only truth, that he is the only life, and he is the only way to God the Father. You see, there's blessing in the midst of all the burdens. God has a purpose for all of this pain. And that's why Paul ends with this encouragement. That's why I'm so thankful in verse number 9, right? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. And now we know what these good things are. Paul defines them for us. What are these good things that we are called to do for one another? Pick up, hold up, build up as we look up. Remember, brothers and sisters, do not be discouraged. In this world, there will be trouble, there will be suffering. But remember that Jesus has overcome the world, and he will be with you even to the very end. And so therefore, as we have this opportunity, let's continue to do good. Let's continue to trust Jesus. Let's continue to believe that he has a purpose in the midst of this pain. And let's continue to know that he's calling you and he's calling me to make a difference, to point other people to Jesus, to further his kingdom, to proclaim the gospel, to shout it from the mountaintops that more people may be saved. And so, dear brother, sister, dear friend, God is not calling us to comfort and security. And I know you know that full well, because right now, in our situation today, we are not comfortable, we are not secure. When we look at what's going on around us. But we are secure in Jesus Christ. We can find comfort in Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you, friend, let's look up and let's be obedient to Jesus. Let's fulfill our responsibility to one another. Let's talk to each other. Let's get past the surface. Let's provide for those spiritual needs that God has given us the opportunity to provide for. There's opportunities all around. But will you seize them? Will you seize them? Will you take advantage of them with the power and the provision of God? Because when you do, we will see God continue to change lives. We will see the kingdom of God continue to grow. We will continue to see lives changed by the power of the gospel. That's our opportunity today. Let's continue. Let's keep it up. Let's keep doing those good works, Northwest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for today. Thank you for this time that we have to worship you. Thank you, God, for your amazing grace. Thank you for your unending love. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to do good, especially good for our fellow brother and sister in Christ. This is one of the amazing things about following Jesus. It's the unity that we have as the church. The bond that we have is like no other. And God, forgive me for the times where I've taken that for granted. Forgive me, God, for the times when I've been unwilling to love my brother or sister, when I've said I love them, but I've been unwilling to really love them. God, thank you for your word, that you've helped me understand what it looks like to love each other. You've helped me to understand more of what it looks like to do the good things that you prepared for me to do. And God, help us as a church to be faithful. Help us, God, not just to give out of our excess. God, help us not to just give materially, but God, help us to provide for each other spiritually by pointing each other to your truth, by pointing each other to you. God, humble us. God, I pray that you would reveal our sin to us. I pray for my brother or sister who is really struggling in sin. God, we see it all around. We know of the families that are struggling. We know the marriages that are strained. And God, we know that the answer is people humbling themselves and turning to you, confessing our sins and repenting, turning from our sin and turning to you. And so, God, I pray that you would open our eyes. I pray, God, that we would seize these opportunities to restore one another, to confront one another in love, to speak the truth to one another. And God, that we would see one another thrive in you. And God, I pray that we would experience you in the days ahead, experience you work in mighty ways as you continue to transform lives, as you continue to change hearts, as you continue to save people from the grips of hell. For your glory, God, thank you for being so good to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.